I'm going to read some words from Mark's Gospel. You can either look for them, but I'm not going to tell you where they are, or you can listen to them and read them on screen. The good news of Jesus Christ, the message, it begins here. All of it following to the letter, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Watch closely. I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John the baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. John wore a camel hair robe tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. And when he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. I'm not the star of this drama. I am a mere stagehand. The real star who is here now, he will change your life. I am baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. His baptism, a baptism by and in the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out." Amen. There's more. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." After this, John was put in prison. Jesus went into Galilee and proclaimed the good news. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come and follow me," Jesus said. Amen. Part of the message today will include a song, which you all know. And you all know it really well. And you all love singing it. But this time, what I'd like you to do, you can still sing it and carry on loving it or whatever, but just ask the Lord if he brings any of the words of this song, you know, into your mind or heart, just something. He might not, that's fine. But I am going to ask afterwards if he did for anyone, because I'm keen to know what they are, given the theme of today's message. But that comes up a little later. I was reading a small section of a book by, he's a theologian, I'd say an evangelical theologian, very well known, very well respected. And he starts off, "If we want to understand the message of Jesus, not to mention his whole ministry, including his death and resurrection, then we must grapple with what he says about the kingdom of God. You cannot know anything about Jesus, anything, if you miss the kingdom of God. You are zero on Jesus if you don't understand this term. I'm sorry to say it this strongly, but this is one of the great failures of evangelical Christianity. We have had Jesus without the kingdom of God, and therefore we have literally done Jesus in." And those were his exact words, and he is a very well-respected theologian. "We have done Jesus in if we haven't paid sufficient attention to the kingdom of God and what it means for us here and now, today and every day." Now, I thought the best way for me to do it, I was struggling. I'm just gonna put me working out on the screen, basically, me thoughts. Starts off with the promises in this area. You can see it's me working out. And some of the things that were said in that those earlier parts of Mark's gospel, you know, he will change your life. And, you know, this isn't like your life's changed when you have a haircut or something. This is a radical transformation of our lives, our hearts, our minds, of who we are, of our identity. This is radical life change. He will change your life. That was John the Baptist talking about the he who would come along, who we know to be Jesus. And John's giving people this baptism, sort of a precursor, or just getting them warmed up for when Jesus turns up. And he will change your life from the inside out. This is no superficial thing. I understand this because I've felt like this, but God very soon corrects us. But people who they're having a tough time, and the Christians, and they sort of act as though I've had enough now. I'm going. Like the Christian faith is a coat you can take off and put on when you want. It isn't. When you are born again, you are born again. Something radical happens in our lives. And that's what John the Baptist is talking about. That's what he's preparing people for. He'll change your life, and he'll change you from the inside out. This is nothing superficial. This is at the deepest levels of who we are. Now, baptism. Let's look at this. John was doing this particular baptism for his thing. Now, we know that Jesus came along and John tells us about that, but baptism, there's two types of baptism talked about in Scripture. Baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk at the moment about baptism in water because we've had Nathan down here. He's asked to be baptized. Hallelujah. I'm quite right. You needn't apologize for shouting out a hallelujah when someone wants to be baptized. Joan was baptized 5 years ago today. Hallelujah, again. But we always like to give other people the opportunity when we're going to have a baptism, so we haven't set a date yet. But if there's anybody here who considers themselves a follower of Jesus who hasn't been baptized, and I would say by total immersion, come and have a chat. Now, I know some people don't like this, and when I went into the Methodist church, they didn't like me saying it, because they said, have you been baptized? And I said, no. They said, well, weren't you christened as an infant? I said, yes, but you asked me if I'd been baptized. Didn't go down well, but I still got into the ministry. I know, I've got that awkward streak, John. There is something really important and really symbolic, but more than symbolic, in baptism in water. There is just something powerful about the symbol and powerful about the reality that it represents. Because it's saying, I have given my life to follow Jesus. And this is a public testimony and a symbol of what's happened. And what's happened is we have repented, we've asked Jesus to forgive us, and he has forgiven our sins. And baptism is that symbolic washing away that's happened, and then rising out of the water to new life. This isn't even part of my message. This is an advert for anybody who feels, not just wants to, but feels as though the Lord is prompting them to be baptized. Then come and have a word with me, because we will be having, even if it's only one, we are going to have a baptism shortly. So there's then the other baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And John says, Jesus, this one he's talking about, he is going to come and baptize people in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how he does that. I know what it means in the sense that we just become totally, totally aware and conscious and indwelt by and surrounded by the Holy Spirit. We are just aware of God's presence and God's promises and God's power and God's peace. It would be nice to say that once this has happened, we lived on a mountaintop awareness for the rest of our lives. Trust me, we don't. But the times when we don't are the times when we really need to know that baptism in the Holy Spirit. They really are. And that's a promise. That's what Jesus came to do in part, says John. But perhaps the most important thing we hear from John is about the kingdom of God. Hence why I read that reading, that it's just so integral to who we are, to what we called to be, and to what we called to do. We will be we'll be coming back to the kingdom of God, because it's going to be the main point of the message. And what has that got to do with us? How does that affect us? Should we be doing or saying or living any different because of the truth of what we're going to look at? Well, I'll give you the answer to that question is yes, and we're going to look at why and what. So what do you think most people, just whether they're Christians or non-Christians, when they hear the word kingdom, what do you think they think of? Well, rules and regs. How about thinking about a kingdom? Okay, let's pick on, I don't know why I'm picking on this, the kingdom of Jordan. What does that bring to mind? What does kingdom mean in that context? It means a king, but what in the context of the kingdom of Jordan, what does it mean? A country, thank you, a geographical location over which a bloke is king. I think that's what kingdom will mean to most people. It is generally some sort of location. It's a place where a king rules or someone rules. That could not have been further from what Jesus meant when he talked about kingdom. Nothing to do with geographical location. And so many movements in history who've been trying to rebuild or recreate or hasten some physical geographical place that will be the kingdom of God, they couldn't get it more wrong. And therein lies cults and all sorts of things. It was certainly not on Jesus' mind when he talked about the kingdom. Let's face it, if God is the God of all creation and the sustainer of life, it's a given that he rules over everything. So let's just take that as a given. But Jesus wasn't talking about that aspect of God. Something much more important than that. Well, we're going to play that song. And I'm going to ask people, I know you like it, but just say, Lord, what jumps out at me, if anything, in this particular song? Remember words.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Your church, we need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor, we lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church, we pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your hearts. You made us for much more.
kingdom here. Let the darkness clear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Right, come on, anything from anyone, any particular words or lines?
We are the church.
We are the church. Thomas, I'm coming to you. Yeah, Sarah?
We need your power in us.
We need your power in us, Thomas. Healers of the world.
Renew our hearts again, because renewal is a precursor to revival.
Renew our hearts again, renewal, precursor to revival. Richard?
We lay down our life.
We lay down our life, Dad.
Heal.
Heal our streets and land. Come to God, and Ian. Absolutely, they are. Gordon. Unveil. Unveil. Yeah, revelation. Absolutely.
Kingdom seed in us.
Also, we're Christians. Absolutely. Yes, Roz. Let the darkness fear. You see, there's an awful lot in that song, isn't there? There's an awful lot in it. If I were going to give my message a title, it would be this. We are made for more than this. Wherever we are now, bad place or a good place, we are made for more than this. There is always more in God. There is always more. Why? Because he's infinite. There's always more. We were made for more than this. And that might cause us to think, well, where am I now with the Lord? And what would more look like? And how is that more realized and released in me? So in Mark's version that we read from about Jesus, we read of the heart and the focus of Jesus' ministry. The kingdom of God has come near. That is still the message. The kingdom of God has come near. Now, I don't know what the people then thought about that, because there was all sorts of understandings about the kingdom going right back through the prophets. And up comes Jesus, in some people's eyes, an upstart, saying, the kingdom of God has come. That was a radical statement. The kingdom of God has come near. If we were to read the same passages from Luke's gospel, Jesus says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose. That puts that task of preaching the kingdom right at the heart of Jesus' ministry. What he came to do, say, and who he was. This is why I've been sent, and that is still the purpose. Kingdom language isn't just New Testament language at all. Read through the prophets, particularly from Isaiah right through to Malachi. And if you were to do that, just make a note of when you read or hear this kingdom language, where they talk about God as King coming and doing and changing and challenging and calling right the way through the prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus, if you notice in the New Testament, never, well, apart from one occasion, hardly ever tells us where the kingdom is, but he does tell us what it's like. Think of all the parables, the kingdom is like, the kingdom is like. He gives us, yeah, my 30s. That's the, I know you've just given the punchline away, but that's okay. We don't mind, but you're absolutely right. That's the only time. He does tell us about the character of the kingdom. Read the parables, little short ones, the kingdom is like, and say, Lord, help me understand what that means. Because normally when there's a kingdom parable saying the kingdom is like, there's something we can do about that, either in our actions, our attitudes, or asking God for more grace, or whatever it is. But in Luke's gospel, somebody comes up to him, asks him a question, and Jesus says, you don't look here and there for the kingdom of God is, and depending on how you understand the Greek, it means either or both, the kingdom of God is within you, or the kingdom of God is among you, and both are right. So Jesus was actually saying to humans, people, the kingdom of God is within you, and when we meet together as church, among us. So whatever truths we read about the kingdom in those parables, whatever the kingdom's about, we're right at the center of it. Because as followers of Jesus, if that's what we are, the kingdom of God is somehow in part revealed and manifest in us, but more powerfully when together we are working as a group of believers and praying as a group of believers and worshipping as a group of believers and serving as groups of believers. The kingdom can be discerned, made manifest among the people of God and even in individual people of God. Now think about that. That is massive. The very heart of Jesus' ministry, the very reason he came was to preach about the good news of the kingdom. And there's lots of good news in the kingdom, but it starts with those who choose to follow him become kingdom bearers. The kingdom, in some form, in some part, we are carriers of. The kingdom is within you and among you. Just think about that, and then think about what that might mean for us as Christians. We were made for more than this, and it's got to do with a kingdom. There's something big there that we occasionally or often miss. Absolutely. You know, there's something we've got to get to the bottom of here. And Jesus teaches us what the kingdom's like. Told you that in the parables. You can read them for yourself. You can say to the Lord, Lord, what does that mean for me? I'm doing, as part of my daily devotions, there's a Bible study called Find Yourself in the Parables. And it's really good. You read the parables, and then it's not some guy writing saying, this is you. You're reading the parables, particularly those kingdom ones, and saying, Lord, where am I in this? What has this got to do with me? What are you saying to me through this? And it's a really, really good way to read some of those scriptures of Jesus, because he spoke to individuals, he spoke personally, and he so often expected to see response or change as a result of him speaking. So God's reign is at hand. So the kingdom that Jesus is talking about now, here and now, we know it'll become something else, because one day all of this stuff we know will be wrapped up and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and those of us who are followers of Jesus are going to see the kingdom in its fullness and we're going to be part of it. Hooray! In its fullness. But for now, we see Jesus living a kingdom life. You want to know what it looks like to live a kingdom life? Do you want to know what the attitudes are like in someone who is living a kingdom life? Read about Jesus. He embodied the kingdom. So if we want to know what this kingdom living should look like, looks a lot like Jesus lived in his attitudes with grace and peace and forgiveness and all that stuff. I mean, he lived a life as a model, as an example for us. But I like this one. God's reign is at hand. God's power and presence is being unleashed. The kingdom now is wherever there are people who acknowledge God's reign and rule and sovereignty in their lives. That's how the kingdom can be in us and among us. A group of people who acknowledge in more than words, because Jesus gave us a life to emulate, acknowledge the power, the rule, the authority and the sovereignty of God through his son Jesus Christ. Those are kingdom people. And we will and we should be displaying more and more kingdom characteristics in our lives. And this is where the Old Testament comes in, because we don't just get kingdom characteristics in the New Testament. Look back to the prophets and see what they say about the kingdom and justice and the kingdom and mercy and the kingdom and our care for the poor. It's all there for kingdom people. So, how on earth do we enter this kingdom? Repentance. That is the only way. It's the only way that Jesus says, John the Baptist warned people, it is repentance. And I think too many of us, me included, for a number of years, felt as though, well, we repent, and then we're sort of born again, and we get our ticket to heaven, and tickety-boo, we're on the way. And it isn't quite like that. Repentance is a lifestyle. It's not just a one-off, I'm sorry, God. That's important. That first, I am sorry, God, is really, really important. Because that's the point at which, when that comes from our hearts, we understand with more than our minds that Jesus died for our sin. And without him, we're lost. But from that point on, we live a life of repentance. Because if you're anything like me, and I hope you're not, you will find you are needing to say sorry to God quite regularly and mean it and ask him for that change, because he's promised to transform our lives. He's promised life transformation from the inside out. So we are kingdom people because Jesus said the kingdom is within you and the kingdom is among you. And we see the kingdom characteristics in Jesus, the way he lived. The power of God has been unleashed upon his people. So the church isn't the kingdom, by the way. Don't ever make that mistake. The church is not the kingdom. But the people of God who get together manifest some of the truths of the kingdom. We are not the whole thing. Would that we were. No, nobody would like that. We are not the whole thing. But we are kingdom people. And therefore there are expectations on us. Kingdom expectations. I love, and people know this who know me, there's an old chorus, Majesty, what's one of the lines? Kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own. Understanding the nature and the boundaries of that authority are really important. They're powerful. And they are promises from Jesus to his people. And the other line that I picked out of that song, and somebody else already picked up on it, come set your rule and reign in our hearts. In our hearts. So where's the kingdom? It's wherever there are people who have set the rule and reign of God through Jesus Christ in their lives and have said, the next thing that Jesus said that I read from when he met the fishermen, what did he say? Come and follow me. Again, this sort of, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm acknowledging his reign and all of that stuff. Is that all right? Am I there now? No. Jesus said, come and follow me. Come and learn from me. This is lifetime learning. Come and learn from me. Come and watch me. Come and listen to me. Come and try to do when I say, like I did to my disciples, just get out there and have a go, guys. And then come back and tell me how it went. And then I'll send you out again. And you'll get a bit more encouraged, even if you're discouraged sometimes. This is kingdom living. Now the question for us is, are we in or are we out? That's the question. Are we in or are we out? Well, make no mistake, if we have said that first, sorry to God from our heart, and we know Jesus died for us on that cross, we are in. Now, you might feel as though your progress is slow sometimes, or if you're like me, you might feel like it goes backwards sometimes, but we are in. We are kingdom people. So the issue for us now is, Lord, how do we become better kingdom people? How do we become more like you? We don't need to spend too much time worrying if we've slipped a bit. We go back and we do say sorry to God and we say we want more change, Lord. You know, want to be released from some of these things, want to be healed from some of these things. Oh, Lord, the hardest one I find is for God has given us a spirit of self-control. It's the self bit that's difficult in that one. The self-control is also part of us walking deeper as kingdom people. Now, I bet I'm not the only one who says I find that the hardest part. It's the self-control bit. There are other areas where God does stuff, and that's great. So, are we in? Or are we out? Well, looking around, I know all of you, I think, I think it's pretty safe to say, from what we know, we're in. Amen. Well, nearly all of us. We're in. We're in. So the question for us each day is, Lord, how do I live as a kingdom follower of Jesus? How do I represent your kingdom? That unleashing of God's, it's not just his power and his presence, it's his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy and all those characteristics of God. And he's saying, I've given you the power to live like that. Are we in or out? Let's have a show of hands. Who's in? It's serious. This is big. And if you're a Christian, you're in. You're in. And that's the end of what I've got to say. Because I just flicked my page up and there's nothing left. But we are going to pray. Because it is that first reading, if we don't really start to get to grips with the Christianity is more than I've said sorry, I've got a ticket to heaven, I'm off there. It's so much more than that. It's I've joined the team that's following Jesus. Let's go and see where he leads us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us, for your patience with us, for your mercy and grace shown to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have, at some risk, I think, chosen to unleash what you've got to us. Thank you, Lord, for that trust that you put in us. It's amazing. Lord, may we trust our whole selves to you all the time. When we fall and when we fail, Lord, may we be quick to repent. Lord, may we not let the enemy in to cripple us with guilt when we know that you have already died, not just for every sin we have committed, but for every sin we will commit. Lord, we want to be your kingdom people. Followers of Jesus, with his power and love unleashed in us and through us and among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.